Anthony is the founder of Pod Pro Max. They're an organization using podcasts to grow brands, get you into the places that you ought to be, but for some reason can't quite get into. He is a podcaster as well. Welcome to the show, Sean.
Man, listen, I'm excited to be here. I mean, with that type of intro, I just need to take you with me on every single booking opportunity I get.
I love it. We can talk about that offline. But tell us a little about your personal life, more about your work and why you do what you do.
Yeah, I'm a kid from a small town, Rocky Mount, North Carolina, who understood the power of connecting and marketing at a very young age. At 14, I became a nightlife party promoter after watching my brother become big in entertainment. So I threw a graduation party at 14 years old for 18-year-olds, right? High school. But I made $6,000 and it turned me into this huge promoter. And I went off to college, became a big nightlife party promoter at an HBCU called Winston-Salem State University. Shout out to the Rams. If you're listening, I did graduate. But then I realized everyone that I was going to class with was going to eventually move on with their life. And I had to take this skill set and I went corporate. And I became someone who was a brand manager for companies. My last job I ever had was a brand manager of a company we all shopped at, Target. And I learned a lot while doing that. But what the biggest gift was is I got promoted so much, man, that I had to commute. I had a 6-hour commute where I discovered podcasting. And that led me to creating Schools Over Now What, which led me to representing talent, some amazing people. Probably the most notable is Beyonce's dad, Matthew Knowles, and many, many more, and Pod Pro Max, and placing clients on podcasts and on tours. So it's been exciting. It's been an amazing journey, and definitely, definitely blessed to be here.
Yeah. $6,000 when you're 14 years old. It's like a million, probably $10 million, man.
Oh, man, you definitely will lose count.
Yeah, like this is amazing. How do I do more of this and do it all the time? And plus you get to hang out with 18-year-olds when you're only 14, so that's a lot of wins. Yeah.
That's a lot of wins, man. I had the curve ahead of the time. I joke all the time. I remember, you know how people go to college, right? And they go to college the night before college, they're probably with their parents, they're shopping at Target or Walmart, getting all like the little items. That wasn't me. The night before college, I was actually in an apartment where one of the biggest promoters in North Carolina was just telling me exactly how I was going to go off to college and recruit a small team, have them promote for me. And I did. I had 30 freshmen going crazy. You know, we used to knock on doors. We used to hand out flyers. I mean, we did it all. And I think the uniqueness behind that is whatever you figure out what you're going to do in life, I usually think around those teenage years is when you kind of understand what you're capable of. And for me, that sweet spot was 14.
So you understand what you're capable of and you realize, wow, I'm actually really good at this. And other people recognize that I'm really good at it. And so you start to apply that. How does that then translate? It strikes me that the skill set that it takes to bring a ton of people to a party is really, really difficult. If you've ever thrown an event, you know how hard it is to get butts in the seats. But then how do you take that and make it a not physical thing?
Yeah. I mean, well, the way you do that is it's no different than selling a product. Right. I would pretty much theme an event. I would utilize frats, sororities. I would utilize different events happening in the community. Maybe it might be homecoming. Maybe it might be back to school. Maybe it might be spring break. Like there's so many different things, you know, and it's so crazy how it all translates to even the corporate world. Right. I remember being a brand manager, helping and trying to come up with engagement like things to get stores more excited about servicing customers. It's literally the exact same thing. It's just translating what you're doing into different fields as you grow as a person. That's the key.
Nice. Okay. And so you start consuming podcasts like crazy on this 6-hour commute. You're like, these are great. I think that these are awesome. I'd like to get involved. Walk me through the creation of Pod Pro Max and where we are today.
Yeah, even with podcasting, I started listening to podcasts, and the first guy I started listening to is a guy that I can text anytime now, that changed everything with my show, and that was Ed Mylett. He pretty much changed my life. I'm not sure. Are you familiar with Ed?
I am.
So Ed, well, obviously is a superstar, and I remember when I got to like episode 40, around a 40-ish, he was episode 42. And people used to share like their most exciting favorite podcasts, and they would tag Amy Porterfield, who's been on my show, School's Over Now What, which is us, and Ed always together. And Ed actually slid in my DM and he said, "Let's make something happen." And he gave me his guy, and I flew out to Laguna while I still was employed. I still was a brand manager at that time. I still was a brand manager. But I did it. I went out there and it changed my life. I saw, and I think what's important is that you have to see what's possible so that you can go out and do something. And I saw things I never saw before. And it motivated me so much. And my let interview led to me meeting Matthew Knowles. It led to me interviewing way, way, way more people that we probably are very familiar with. But it kind of fueled me. And all this led me to Pod Pro Max because as I was doing this, everyone started asking me, how are you podcasting? How are you talking about this? What's the equipment you're using? How are you navigating? And I started to teach it. But the real strategy, the real excitement came when I started to brand manage some of the talent that was on my show. Remember, I think one of the things that's key here is that everything correlates. Life is just patterns. So the same way I was brand managing at companies like Target, Macy's, and Belk, it was no different than the way I was branding brands when it comes to branding people. I started brand managing when I left my job in 2021. Not only was I teaching people podcasting, but the first person I brand managed was Terry Egioma. And in the first year together, I mean, she made millions of dollars, but I was strategically placing her on shows. At that point, I didn't necessarily knew exactly everything I was doing. I knew that whatever I was doing was having so much movement, it was leading to results. And through that time span of working with her, I then went and brand managed Rachel Rogers. I then realized what the sweet spot was, and the sweet spot was not necessarily them having their own shows. The sweet spot was placing them on shows. And so I launched Pod Pro Max. We've been in business now for over a year where we do these podcast tours. We take a talent, we understand exactly what their strengths are. And now we go out and promote them. I mean, we do it in a way that's so uniquely different than PR, right? PR, they'll put you on a retainer and bring you nothing. We'll put someone on this podcast tour and they're doing 30 shows. All right. So I think you have to understand as you grow in business, what are the patterns that you may need to go back and look at to become who you should be?
Well said. So what do you think that obviously you're good at identifying a talented person, but is it then a function of how do I help? I guess maybe what is brand management? Is it pulling stuff out of people that you can see in them that's maybe not coming through quite as well as it ought to?
Yeah, brand management and talent management are two completely different things, right? So, like, brand management is looking at someone, to your point, and looking at them and realizing what are the brands they should connect with, who are the people that they should work with, what are things that are missing in a business that if they were strategically changed just a little bit, it might add a lot to the bottom dollar. Maybe they are putting out a message that isn't hitting the right audience. Maybe they haven't been in front of the right community. Maybe they need to know that something else exists so that they can talk about what the offer is. Brand management is that. And in terms of like talent management is understanding a talent's strengths. And then realizing, okay, all right, now that we got this, let's go get some deals. Let's go see what speaking opportunities present themselves, personal appearances present themselves. Are you looking for brands that align with what that talent strengths are? So I think it's important to kind of highlight both those differences, but also understand how both of them are very important to success.
Yeah, that certainly does make sense. I can see the differentiation between brand management and talent management. And we live in a world today where, through so many different mediums that we have access to, it's possible to get a brand out, a person out there, but there's so many people that are doing it. So how are you able to cut through the noise, for lack of a better term?
Yeah, I think, well, just as much as it's important for a person to be matched with the right person that's helping their brand, it's important for that person to be matched with the right talent themselves. You know, one of the main things I do is I got to make sure I'm excited about who I'm working with. Because at the end of the day, I have to walk into rooms that you may not be in and represent you. But then also, I might be able to get through a certain door with a certain talent that I couldn't get through that will now create an opportunity for you. Right. So I think, you know, it's really important to kind of understand that understanding the roles, and understanding that, hey, look, this isn't a buffet. This isn't like, hey, every time I talk to you, hey, I got this. No, we got to work together to make some of these things happen. And I think, you know, when you, if you're somebody listening to this right now, you're thinking about representation, are you putting in work? And are you looking at, you know, a person that you will bring on as a savior? Or a partner. And I think the partner is the key.
Tell me more about that difference.
Yeah, man. I mean, well, one of the differences is this, right? Someone that you're looking at too as a savior is that you have a business, an idea, a brand, you've been running for a while, but you just literally are just waiting for opportunities to come to you. You are not proactively putting yourself out there. You're not proactively going after certain things. You aren't making any initiative. It's almost a person who thinks they achieved a status. I talked to so many people, and this is so it's so interesting. And I think you got to have a lot of confidence in what you do. But I talked to a lot of people who think they're probably hotter than what they are. And you have to have that naive, you have to have a little bit of that, but at the same time, you have to have the work ethic to realize that you haven't got on Mount Rushmore yet. And I think you have to be willing to put in the shot. Some of the most well-known people that, you know, I know of are hard workers. You know, representing, you know, Beyonce's dad, Matthew Knowles, has taught me a lot. He's a hard worker. I mean, he's constantly thinking. He's someone that's literally, you know, he might not physically be in the gym with you. He probably could, but he's mentally every day with you. You know, and I think, you know, that's the key, you know, whereas working with someone who understands the partnership, you know, they're bringing things to the table. They have ideas. They have, you know, an open book of contacts that they may not have, you know, the idea to strategically have a conversation, but they are proactively moving forward.
Yeah. So you mentioned Ed Mylett, and he's a very successful entrepreneur who's turned into a self-development icon. And Amy Porterfield is certainly a very famous digital marketer, for lack of a better term. And Terry, I believe, she's been on the podcast years and years ago, is trading. So it's investment management. So it doesn't necessarily matter what it is you're doing.
It doesn't matter. I think, you know, what matters is that you're doing something that you love, that you have figured out a skill set that you have mastered and helped others with that now can be packaged to make a broader impact. And if you have that, and if you lead with true, genuine curiosity, and being authentic, you're going to win. You're going to win.
That's not necessarily an innate thing, and maybe that's where you come in to help bring that out of somebody who they're sort of in the jar, or yeah, they're inside the jar, so they can't see the label on the outside of it, and they're just doing so many different things. So how do you refine that and make it simpler to understand?
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that because everybody you just named, and with the statement you just made, need that, right? So they are when you're operating, especially at the level of the names you just mentioned, right? Ed, Amy, Terry, I know all of them. Can't call all of them. When you're operating at that level, you have to stay focused and operate in that level as the talent, because if you started to think even like the way I would think about how to navigate through a room, how to have conversations, understand what the follow-up is needed, understand where you have to do something a little bit different, understand who your future affiliates or collaborative partners are, you are going to lose the talent of being the talent. I think a lot of people are right now losing that. You know, they're trying to be their own booking agent and trying to be their own person who is moving and roams, and they can't be, man. You can't do that. I think you if you did that, somewhere on the line, something is going to drop, right? And I think it's very strategic if you partner with someone if that's their strengths. Right. And I think that's the way of identifying the best people to collaborate with and primarily make a partner.
So for those who are listening that want to amplify their message, what is the process look like for engaging with you and Pod Pro Max?
Yeah, you know, I always tell people the first thing you want to do when it comes to like engaging is that, all right, what have you created or done that the world needs to know about? You got to have that thing, right? You got to have something. You know, the very first podcast tour we ever did came from a person that I really respect, and she was on everything. And so I was so curious that she's like, Sean, I need you. And it was all in Hamilton. You know, Arlen Hamilton, you know, came to us. You know, she had a team of all of the type of managers you can imagine. So it's no reason for me to be her brand manager. But the ability to outreach and place her on a podcast tour was uniquely different. You know, she's someone that is heavy in the VC world, very affiliated with Mark Cuban. You're probably familiar with that name as well. You know, and being strategic and placing her on certain different things was what was important. But she also had a conference. So I think she had a conference that she was promoting with Gary V, Rich Paul. So it was important for her to be seen in all of the places to promote it. So like if you have, you know, a conference, if you have an event, if you have a book, if you have a course, even if you had a lead magnet, you're just trying to build a community, you know, Pod Pro Max and engaging with us with a podcast tour should be your very first step. And if this sounds like you, something you want to do, we would love to kind of tell you more. You can visit us at podpromax.com and we'll walk you through that process and help you understand the importance of getting yourself out there. Because when you're a guest on shows, you already are elevated as the expert. You're already there, right? So I think a lot of people need that elevation to really start making some noise.
What do you say to people who are nervous about being a guest on a podcast?
Yeah, I think if you're nervous, I want you to think about, okay, if you were to be interviewed, what would you want someone to know about you? You know, I think about podcasting all the time. I started in 2018 when podcasting was corny. I mean, nobody knew how to click a button. They were like, Sean, what are you doing? What's this purple app? Why am I clicking on it? I just want to listen to the radio. It was kind of foreign to them, right? And I think what got me through all of that was I thought about, yo, listen, what if like 40 years from now, or 50 years from now, 100 years from now, my grandkids, my great grandkids could press a button and listen to my voice? And now I realize that's what podcasting is. You know how much money I would pay to hear my great grandfather's voice on audio? I don't even know his name. You know what I'm saying? So like, it's I don't even know his name. I don't know my great grandmother's name. I don't even know their names. So like, to the ability to live beyond a generation. I mean, if you don't want to podcast, do it for a younger version of you. Do it for somebody who needs to know that what you've done in life is something they can do. And I think it's important to kind of put yourself out there, but leave your stamp on the world.
Amen. So safe to say that you're super positive about the medium that is podcasting going into the future.
Oh, absolutely, man. And you know, it's so funny just seeing so many people get into it. I'll say this though. I think, and I haven't said this before any podcast, I believe now that if you were to start a podcast and you really want to be successful at it, you can't do what you could have done 6 years ago. You can't do what could have got you past, like what could have got you a community 6 years ago. You can't do that now. But think about it. It's not so much of a bold statement. There's pretty much not many things you can do 6 years ago that you would still do today. So I think you have to come up with new, creative, innovative ways to spark conversation, ask certain questions, create certain clips. create this highlight where people are excited. And I think that's the key.
Yeah, I think that that's really well said. Well, Sean, thank you so much for coming on. I know you gave us the website again or once, but please give it to us again and how people can get in touch with you.
Man, listen, man, I appreciate you and your time, and I like your cadence. I like the vibe. If you guys are listening and you enjoy this, you understand the power of utilizing your voice, you can follow me at SeanRAnthony_ on all platforms. You can listen to the podcast, Schools Over Now What, on all platforms. It completely changed my life. We only gave you some of the names of the people that were on the show, but, you know, I've also had Seth Godin, Ryan Serhan, Evan Carmichael, Trent Shelton, Jasmine Starr. The list is absolutely insane. And also, if you're ready to be represented from talent or perhaps go on a podcast tour, please visit us at podpromax.com or podpromax.com/tour.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Sean your appreciation and share today's show with a friend that also appreciates good ideas. You can follow Sean at SeanRAnthony_ on social media. I'll list all of those in the notes. Check out the Schools Over Now What podcast, wherever you listen to your podcasts. And finally, go to podpromax.com and reach out and find out if the time is right for you to start getting a little bit of talent and brand management and getting your work out into the world. Thanks again, Sean.
Appreciate you.
And till next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.